Welcome to the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. Joining me in the studios of CBS Interactive, Mumbrella Deputy Editor Camille Alacon.
Hello.
And Scott Rohde of PR agency House Party.
Hey, Tim. Good to see you.
This week, goodbye VH1. Hello, MTV Classic.
Another big hiring at Mediacom.
South Australia takes a swing at Victoria. And yes, there is beer involved.
Rugby league in 3D and it's free to air. What could be better?
Cougar Town gets the axe and Bieber Fever takes over morning television. MasterChef props up the 7pm project and Bondi Rescue.
And bad timing for the brands caught up in the Melbourne Storm mess. We start with a somewhat hungover Camille, who MTV showed a good time to this week. Tell us about your ligging adventures in Melbourne.
I feel great. I could run a marathon right now. So it was the launch party. So they did away with the annual MTV Awards, which is quite a big event for MTV. So this was their big concert event just to basically launch MTV Classic. So the rebrand, you know, targeting 25 to 40-year-olds.
So effectively kids. It's what VH1 used to be, really.
Yeah, but from what I gather, it's a slightly younger skew they're trying to aim for as well.
And I suppose the other thing is MTV had this heritage as being a music brand, and then gradually all of the programmes stopped being about music. And for instance, in the EPG here, it actually moved up to the sort of general entertainment, you know. So it's become much more sort of
it's an fairly entertainment brand.
Lots of
music television stopped being about music.
Yeah, much more about reality shows about, you know, young folk.
Yeah.
But the Hills,
absolutely. Yes.
So the big headline acts were Angry Anderson and Slash. Apparently it was the first time they shared a stage in 18 years. I didn't know they shared a stage 18 years ago, so it wasn't really that big an event for me.
Are those two the demographic then for the...
Well, this is the thing for me. It felt more like a classic rock rather than classic hits. It had a very, very rock vibe to it. So for me, I was just a little bit confused by that.
Well staged event though.
It was a well staged event. It was a good event, and the booze was running free and flowing. Not that I drank much, but and you know they had the big stars on the red carpet: Ruby Rose and Aaron McNaught from MTV.
And who were the big stars?
That was it. And Brian McFadden apparently was there. I was at the bar by the stage. I didn't really see them, but I was told they were there. And they made a grand entrance. There was a cheering from the crowd every once in a while. I presume that was because of them.
Good event.
It was, yeah.
Marks out of 10.
It was pretty, I don't know, maybe I wasn't rock and roll or rock star enough, but it seemed like a pretty standard, not really too scandalous evening.
Marks out of 10, though?
I'd go 6.5 to 7.
Well, there you go.
An interesting move in agency land this week. Mediacom has drafted Clemenger BBDO's Nick Hodges. A good move for Nick, Tim?
A good move for Nick, possibly a good move for Mediacom as well. I mean, the thing that strikes me, a couple of things actually, they've been quite interesting about this. Firstly, Mediacom have seriously been gearing up over the last year or so. So we've seen this big changing of the guard. We've seen Annie Parsons, who was the big boss, leave, go overseas. Toby Jenner effectively have free reign, along with Mark Petchick out of Melbourne, who's sort of been, you know, the big, strong local face in Melbourne. Matt Baxter came in 11 months ago now or so.
So
sort of chief strategy officer or something grand like that. They've geared up their branded content side of things.
Gemma Newman from the UK has stepped in. Brand content.
Brand content,
according
they prefer to call it, don't they? And more widely, WPP, you know, Steady came back. James Greets also came
stepping in,
you know, so he starts in about a month's time at Mindshare. So Nick Hodges, he's going to be head of innovation and technology. So it's kind of a new role. It's almost a sort of chief geek role, I suppose, you know, sort of this, you know, do the clever, innovative things. Which is quite interesting, amongst other things, for the fact that someone who was quite senior in an ad agency has moved over to a media agency. That move is quite a rare one in itself. But also one of the few people in Adland I can think of who's genuinely engaged in social media as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And that's, you know, obviously you see a lot of times that a lot of the social media campaigns that go wrong are usually led by ad agencies because they don't really understand it. But, you know, Nick's on the ball with it. He gets it, is probably the best way I can say it.
And he's one of those few people that you actually see show up at things like Social Media Club Sydney and that sort of thing. Of the senior, you know, certainly senior people within ad agencies. I can't think of anyone else who, you know, certainly not who blogs as prolifically.
I'm racking my brain here, but no, I can't think of anyone either.
Yeah, and also just won the International Advertising Association's competition to go to Moscow as well with his think piece on the use of social media. So yeah, interesting. Also, not least because We Are Social launched in the last few days as well, which has an alliance with PhD. So you're seeing media agencies kind of join the social media party.
Everybody's trying to get it, let's be honest.
Now, if anyone didn't know about the rivalry between South Australia and Victoria, they do now. Quite a nice cheeky ad from BMF for West End Draft, which is a South Australia brand, which takes the mickey out of It's pretty classic now, but it's, you know, you still see it, particularly at the cinema. Tourism Victoria ad, which was done by Publicist Mojo with that giant ball of wool. It's probably worth explaining this new ad, Camille.
Basically, it's a couple of mates in a pub in South Australia somewhere drinking the beer, West End Draft, saying apparently there's such a thing as beer karma. Whenever you drink one of these beers, something happens to a Victorian. A Victorian cops it, they call it. And so they're sipping their beer, and then it cuts to a spoof of the really well-known Tourism Victoria ad with a big ball of yarn or thread. And the big ball of thread actually collides into tables, and these very arty-looking Victorians are going, oh, oh, and, you know, falling all over the place. I thought it was hilarious.
Scott, did you like it?
So I'm just laughing at there. that's brilliant. Sorry. I thought that ad was brilliant. It made me laugh. I had no idea about the rivalry between either of the states. I always thought it was Sydney Melbourne, to be honest.
Because does anyone in Victoria know about this rivalry?
Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't
it?
It's
my question.
Yes, that is a very good question.
Do people just go Adelaide, meh? You know, it's such a show, meh.
I guess the main rivalry is in the AFL stakes, because they're both big AFL states. So AFL stakes in the States. Yes. Yep. That's probably where the rivalry would come in, I would say.
I've got to admit, I like to add, I've never seen a beer available in New South Wales, so I don't think I'll ever try it.
Well, that's pretty much it. But still on alcohol, sometimes an ad captures the public's imagination, and not in a good way. Like this one from Jacob's Creek.
I've got 495 online friends. I don't know where they are, but they're not in this room.
When you were dressing up as a woman.
Yeah.
That woman is really beautiful.
Jacob's Creek Reserve. Loved by the world's most important wine critic.
Really? Who?
Me.
I can say a few things about Dan's character.
My character?
We all know you too.
Now, Tim, the ad's 6 months old. Why has it been on the Mumbrella agenda this week?
Yeah, this is a funny one. So we were the first ones to put up this new ad. When it was new, it was by URRSCG for Jacob's Creek. It was their global positioning, featuring, as we've just been hearing, that confident middle-aged man with his great, marvellous dinner party mates and dinner party manners. The way it works with YouTube is you put it up on your channel, and then each time someone puts a comment up, if you've got it set that way, which I have, you get an email saying what they've said. So I just get this constant drizzle of emails day after day after day of people who see the ad and then post up something about what a smug person this is.
I think the person's understatement of the year there.
And it just feels like everybody in the world hates Australia at the moment when you see these emails coming in every day. So this week we did the greatest hits, which you can see on Mumbrella, of all of the comments that have been posted on the YouTube channel. Did you like the ad, Scott? Did he remind you of yourself in any way?
Oh, yeah. Let me come over there. I despised that advert. I thought the guy was a smug. Swear
word. That's the word to describe it.
It's not just smug, though. You can see the ad agency trying to be, you know, cool and trendy by mentioning Facebook and friends and trying to do all that. And the ad fails on so many levels. I think the only people that would like the advert are a bunch of elitist wanker wine drinkers.
Well, do you not think maybe that's who it's aimed at?
Well, I don't think so, because Jacob's Creek's not that expensive.
Yeah, that's true. Camille, more likely to make you drink Jacob's Creek?
No, never, never, ever. But speaking of the ad itself in terms of the people in it, so we were talking about the talent in this new ad for roof tiling, the Roof Tiling Association, and how the talent looked really familiar. It's the same guy.
Oh, that's it,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, he's
of
the same
course.
Guy.
And for is smugging that as well?
No, he seems unhappy.
It's worth explaining the roof tiling ad.
Basically, it's an association promoting the cause of having tiles on your roof instead of the horrible sheet metal, basically.
Oh, it's tiles on your roof.
Yeah.
I thought it was floor
terracotta
tiles.
Okay. And so you see him, you know, in a train with all this metal around him, and it's just ugly. And then he walks to his home, and it's all beautifully tiled
and
terracotta.
Quiet.
To be honest, he's just an actor. I mean, he's obviously been asked to play these roles, but...
But that was just a little
God,
bit of trivia.
God, he was a smug
wow,
bastard.
Good trivia. That's excellent trivia. We'll have to do ask Dr. Mumbo to write something about that.
One day you'll reveal who Dr. Mumbo is.
One day. Well, his writing's just arrived by carrier pigeon, so
like
none of
stig.
Us know. Exactly. Very much like the Stig. Now, it had to come. We are about to have Australia's first 3D broadcast. And Nine actually sneaked in there first. Is going to get there first with State of Origin. Camille, how's this going to work?
Pretty much the state government's issued a trial broadcast licence.
So effectively Nine gets a new channel for the night,
effectively. So using the spectrum temporarily. And it's only for Sydney, though, in this instance. And they're trying to work towards having it available in other capital cities.
This particular broadcast or future broadcasts?
Future broadcasts.
So the three State of Origin matches will all be shown.
Yeah, May 26th. So this is a trial to see how it all goes. And right now they're working with ACMA to have the service provided beyond Sydney.
Which must be massively annoying for Foxtel, because in the UK, pay TV got there first with broadcasting 3D some soccer games to a few pubs. And also SBS had been talking about doing it for the World Cup. Now, I only actually know one person with a 3D TV. Luckily enough, Scott was kind enough to cook me a delicious Scottish breakfast on Sunday morning, and I was able to come round and see your
I'd just like to
your giant
I'd like
new television
to stress
as well.
Tim came over in the morning and didn't stay overnight.
Yes.
with a sleepover. Yeah.
Thank you for stressing. So your target consumer, will you be tuning in?
No. Actually, I probably will.
The only 3D television. You own a 3D television.
I have a 3D TV.
How much did you spend on it?
About 3,500. It is a normal 2D TV, and it is a 3D TV. It lets you turn any 2D broadcast into 3D, or any video game you're playing into 3D. So, you know, I've already watched some normal TV on 3D.
But
anyway.
It's only kind of 3D.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't do its job. Whereas, obviously, a 3D movie, if you watch, like, the movie comes with it,
but
you
the
can
only
notice the difference.
Possibly the only 3D TV broadcast all year, and you're not going to bother to watch
it. I'll put it on and have a look and see what it's like. I've already... I've watched some football on it already from the UK, so I've been watching that.
And that's with the sort of the fake 3D rather than the
real
3D.
So it'll be interesting to see what the actual broadcast's like, which is why I will tune in, or I'll time shift it or something.
And so
like that.
Far, as a consumer who's gone a massively early adopter, worth the money? Think it's going to be a hit? Think it's going to catch on?
I think it will, actually. Look, it's the TV itself is fantastic. I mean, it really is. Samsung has done an amazing job with it. I'm not affiliated anyway with Samsung, but I've always bought their TVs, and I need a new TV, so I went to have a look to buy the new Series 8, and the guy went, what about this? And I went, all right, sold.
Is there an issue, because obviously when you're watching sports, I know this is a cliche, but you know, you like to have a couple of drinks, a couple of beers. Is there an issue with drinking alcohol while you're
using
3D?
They suggested you shouldn't, but I had a few beers the other night whilst watching stuff, and it was fine. I didn't notice myself.
What happens if you do?
I don't know.
Nothing. Is it like you're stoned or something? I don't know.
The only thing you notice when you're wearing the glasses is, because the glasses are an emitter, is that if it's during the day and light streaming in the room, it flickers. The light seems to flicker, which is weird and can mess you up a little bit. So it's more of a nighttime thing, which is fine because State of Origin's a night game.
Big massive marketing opportunity for all of these companies with 3D TVs. And I'm not sure we've yet seen much brilliant advertising.
Now, Samsung has just launched, or they're launching, or they've launched this week, their big ad campaign. And
to be honest, the best thing they did was the video that's going around, showing the kind of side views of like
how
the No, it's...
This is the Old Masters.
The Old Masters, yes. Which is fantastic.
Yeah, by the time people listen to this, that one probably will be posted on Mumbrella, actually. Right, okay. So you'll be able to have a look at the video if you go to mumbrella.com.au.
But mostly I'm looking forward to the World Cup. I think that's going to be amazing in 3D. That's the reason I bought it. I thought, yeah, I'll watch the games.
No guarantee it's being shown in 3D yet.
No, though. I know, but it will be shown probably in the UK. So I'll just grab the stuff from over there.
And still with sports, it's been a pretty bad week for News Limited and for any sponsors involved in the Melbourne Storm saga, including Skins.
Show us what you've got, you Vaseline smothering bull temper. Give it your best shot with your Oscar winning performance. Call it out when you know it's in. Drill those veins with Anabolin, Phenobolin, hell, mix your own bollin. Load that glove. Fix that fight. Let that EPO flow. To all you fine upstanding cheats out there, we say, keep up the good work. We need the competition. More oxygen to muscles for better performance. Skins. Cheat legal.
Scott, the risks of sponsoring sport.
Yeah, the risks are always there. I mean, I think we've spoken about this before, but the moment you put yourself, you know, align yourself to a team or to a specific player, there's always potential for backlash. I mean, let's look at Tiger Woods, for instance. I mean, some of his sponsors did a runner after what he did.
Why take the risk?
Well, because you're getting eyeballs on your name. I mean, ultimately, that's what it is. You know, you've got an advertising company telling you that's what you should be doing. You should be out there sponsoring stuff. Sometimes I think it's a giant waste of money and you should be investing the money elsewhere.
So why not just safely go for traditional advertising rather than sponsorship then?
Because they want the brand name out there. They want it to be seen to be helping promote a sport, and they know how much passion's involved in sport. So they think that... I always find it baffling. Like, at no point have I ever followed a team and went, oh, that team's been sponsored by such and such, I better buy that product.
That's the thing. I suppose it is. It's more about awareness than anything else,
that's
isn't
what it is.
Yeah, it's although, you know, Draper Tools, former sponsor of Southampton Football Club, probably out of business now, actually, both the club
did
and
Draper. Did
you buy
some of their tools?
Well, I feel more warmly about them because, you know, that sponsorship from the 1970s. But Skins, the ad that we just heard, now they pulled their sponsorship very quickly, as did one or two others.
I remember as Equity Bank and Host Plus, who were the major sponsors. Now a camper van brand is a major sponsor.
Wow,
it sounds a bit
Jayco, yeah, a bit of a step.
We already know an incident with some of the players and a camper van, and then lost them all.
But I do wonder for sponsors though, where you yank your sponsorship quickly, is there a danger that you seem a bit disloyal to those same fans?
Yeah, there's potential for that because, you know, especially if you're a long term sponsor, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years, and then what's going to happen? Let's say that, you know, it turns out that every team in the whole NRL has been doing this. You know, what happens then? Do all the sponsors go running? You know, do they then go, well, if they pulled out, do we pull out? And next thing you know, there's nobody sponsoring, the whole league collapses.
And the other complication, of course, is News Limited, biggest publisher over here, also major ownership both of the Melbourne Storm and also the league itself. Been a big challenge for them reporting effectively a story of which John Hartigan, the chairman of News Limited over here, is, you know, the central or one of the central characters. My impression have been they've told the story fairly frankly.
I think they have. I think they've been quite as honest as they can, but I think they have to be in this case because, you know, there's a lot of scrutiny on them at the moment.
I suppose particularly with John Hartigan being very vocal about pointing the finger at the former
CEO. Rat in the ranks.
Yeah, Brian Waldron. So, you know, he's been very proactive and he's been out there emphasising their stance on the issue.
I suppose one question is... look at the Peter Garrett issue. Very much he's been, you know, the environment minister has been saying, oh, I didn't know anything about the insulation scandal, you know, not my fault. I'm not sure the News Limited's stance were therefore he shouldn't take responsibility for the mistakes. It was, you're the minister, you're in charge, you own this problem.
Yeah,
there's
very much double standards with that one. And you'll find that when newspapers, and they've got a common interest in something, you know, they do it all the time. And let's be honest here, they're doing it all the time when it comes to pushing certain political parties so they can get, you know, say Murdoch, for example. You know, we know what he's about to do. If the Conservative Party is in the UK, he's going to try and collapse the BBC. And, you know, and
he's classic. And it has been, it's going to be an absolutely classic election, because there have been a couple of great pieces written already suggesting this could be the first election where Murdoch doesn't decide
influence
the result. But also, potentially, if the Liberal Democrats end up holding power in the UK, it'll be the first time in a long time that News Corp, parent company of News Limited here, is out of the loop politically, because they
don't
have a relationship
anybody, yeah,
with them. You know,
I'd love that. I'd love the Lib Dem to kind of be great.
It'll be very entertaining. Amazing news moment this week as well with Gordon Brown, the British Prime Minister, jumping back in a car, not realising that his microphone was live. In fact, let's just hear that clip.
It's a disaster. Well, just... Okay. Should never have put me with that woman. Whose idea was that?
I don't know, I didn't see.
That's Sue, I think. They're just ridiculous.
I'm not sure they'll go with that one.
They will go with it.
What did she say?
Oh, everything. She's just a sort of bigoted woman that said she used to be Labour. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
So one of those terrible, terrible blunders.
Yeah, but of course, you do realise that the microphone was a Sky microphone. Funnily enough, owned by Rupert Murdoch. There's a shocker, eh? Wow.
Well, of course, one of the... I think that's one conspiracy theory too far, actually. But
oh, really?
The question is, the Prime Minister has done you, the media, a favour by wearing your microphone while he's meeting the public. He gets back into the car. He thinks he's having a private conversation. Should you rebroadcast that private conversation?
I don't think you should. I really don't.
Even though it says something about his character.
Even though it says
shows
that
him being double-faced as a politician. He's been very nice to
the person.
Do
you know what? But he's a politician. Wow. And do you know what? I'd rather a politician was honest.
Well, he wasn't, though, wasn't he? He was to the woman's face.
But that's the point. He's a politician. Have you ever seen a politician actually be natty to someone? Apart from Two Jags, when he did the punch.
There was the British politician John Prescott punched somebody after they threw an egg at him, which also was caught on a Sky News camera. Now, the other interesting thing, of course, which you could see potentially happening here with the ABC, is the BBC now pretty much has a high-quality camera in each radio studio, as does the ABC. So you'll often be doing, the politician will be doing what ostensibly is a radio interview, but they're being caught on camera.
Yeah.
And when his words were played back to him, he obviously forgot the camera was watching, and he held his head in his hands and his shoulders slumped, and it was just a totally defeated. So, and to me, it wasn't even the words he used, which we just heard, it was how he looked physically. I thought at that moment, that's an election just lost because of a media moment.
Yeah, it could be, yeah. And you know, I'd hate to see that. He's a good man, and I did see David Cameron again because he's just eaten tough.
Let's not do the politics. Anyway, on to the TV ratings. So, lots of TV to talk about, actually. Now, it looks like, you know, there's been enough time now that MasterChef is it's a bona fide hit again, isn't it, Camille?
Pretty much. It's a big hit for Channel 10. It's averaging about 1.5 million. And it's, apart from Sunday night when Underbelly's on, it's pretty much the most watched show of the evening.
Every night. It's pulling 10 back up there, sort of back the right side of 20% share most nights now. Also, it's taking the other programmes with them. So
yeah, it's 7pm
Project
it's,
is lifting.
It's buoying the other programmes, yep. The 7pm Project the other night almost hit the 1 million mark. And now people were saying the days of 7pm Project might be numbered because it was hitting lows of, 600,000. And now it's averaging really well, you know, late 800,000 and now almost...
I mean, you almost wonder whether, because 7pm Project actually launched after MasterChef finished last time, you wonder if they've managed to put the two programmes alongside each other for even a couple of weeks at the start of 7pm's run,
it
would have established itself a bit better.
It's very good programming, very good scheduling by 10. And also it's seeing Bono Rescue increase its ratings as well, because it hasn't really reached last year's ratings. And now this week it went up to about almost 1.2 million or 1.5.
Now, we all like hubris being punished. And this time we saw Cougar Town, the Channel 7 programme, being given the bullet by 7. Now, we all like it when hubris is rewarded / punished, which we kind of had with Cougar Town. David Leckie made those fairly extraordinary comments a few weeks ago. He's the boss of Seven, sort of saying, you know, we promoted the shit out of Cougar Town, and we're going to do the same with the Matty Johns show. And, hey, we can make any show a hit. And, of course, Cougar Town was doing, what, about 1.6 when it launched or something like that?
Yeah, more like 1.36, something like that. And it, quite funnily enough, soon after that comment, you know, started going down. And last week it hit a low of about 626,000.
And that was the end of that.
And it's goodbye, Cougar Town.
Yeah, halfway through the run or three quarters of the way through the run, which is a bit tough if you're the fan, if you're a fan of the show.
I think that's, I'm really annoyed by. That's one of the reasons I stopped watching a lot of terrestrial television, was when they do that. You'd be three quarters into a show, and then they just stop it, and you'd be like, well, you know, you're still, you know, there's still 400,000 people watching this show. So, you know, is it really nice to be treating your people who are loyal to your station by watching this show like that?
I wonder whether we will see it. It'd probably be a good show for 7.2,
for instance. I was just going to say, in the digital channel, or maybe a later time slot, perhaps.
But it's things like that. It's treating your viewers, your actual customers like that, that's causing people to go download things. I mean, really, they're pushing people to go download the last five episodes.
Now, on to Bieber Mania.
Bieber Fever, I think they've called it. I've had trouble pronouncing that.
Yeah, or Bieber.
Bieber.
I was going to go for Bieber Palooza, but the thing is, this guy, he constantly trends on Twitter, doesn't he? Anytime you look, there it is trending. Justin something or the other.
Yeah. Justin,
Justin
Bieber.
Let Justin sing, or let Justin, or Justin Bieber.
Shut Justin up, for the love of God, please.
Yeah, so I must admit, I was quite excited because I thought this was going to be...
Did you have your T-shirt on with his face on it?
No, I thought this was going to be a big television moment because he was doing this free concert Sunrise.
It's not a concert
show.
If it's three songs.
Yeah, well,
it's a performance.
So. It was an event. Call it what you like, you know. What would you have called the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan show, where I think they did one song?
That's a show.
It was a defining moment. Well, this was a show. So anyway, it was on the Bank Holiday Monday, so I tuned in a little bit late. And to be honest, the glum looks on the presenters' faces to start off with, I thought that someone had died.
Well, I was speaking to the producer who was actually handling that, and he was saying, you know, they walked down to the Sydney passenger terminal where it was supposed to be held, like the Sunday 5 p.m. before, and there were about 100 kids there camping out already, and pretty much they called it off even before Justin was out of bed, and they expected the people, the numbers, but just the surging and just the crowd just got out of control. So they had to cancel it, basically.
So
I don't think cops are so good with using their batons on teen girls.
It was a great ratings stunt for Sunrise because they pulled in about 428,000 compared to today with 288,000. Even the better news, the flow-on effect onto the morning show on 7 meant that the morning show actually rated ahead of the Today Show. It had about 328,000.
Which is the first time I can remember that happening.
Yeah, and usually traditionally as well, on a public holiday, people sleep in, so the likes of Sunrise and the Today Show don't really... the ratings usually go down. So it was a good stunt from Sunrise, and I think it was even better from Adam Boland, the EP of Sunrise, who turned it all and said it could have gone so terribly wrong for Sunrise, but just looked very serious during his interview, saying these irresponsible parents letting their kids go camp out.
That's the thing. They only just got away with it. I mean, imagine the backlash if something more serious had happened.
The bad publicity. But I thought it was gold the way he did that, how he turned it around in their favor.
You love him.
Okay.
You do. I can remember you getting off the phone after interviewing him.
He's a very jovial character.
Is he charismatic?
He's charismatic, yes.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks to my co-hosts Camille Alicon and Scott Rohde, and to CBS and Director for use of their studio. Production was by Georgina Pearson. That was the Mumbrella Cast. I'm Tim Burrows. Toodle pip. Sorry, Camille, I thought you were going to come in.
I thought you said that. I thought.
Sorry, no.
No, nothing? You've got nothing for us?
I've got nothing.
She's
left.
Got nothing.
Oh, dear. Okay, let's keep rolling.